Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Michael Steele podcast. So Rick Wilson is in the house, as we say, and it is always good when he is. So Rick, we were talking about the Democrats and how they really can't seem to get out of their way, how they, like 2020, will need some help. When we get on the other side of this election, let's say that Biden prevails, as I think may very well happen. Republicans lose the House, and they don't gain any ground on the Senate because of the toxic narratives that they're putting out there. Does that become a stabilizing moment or a opportunity to rebalance the democracy narrative, or would we see at that point this hard MAGA environment harden itself even further and just get going full on board, all out, in your face war?
My fear, Michael, is that there is a sort of critical mass of bad incentives for people in the Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz sort of wing of the party now that will keep them coming back for more of this, even if Trump got eaten by a shark tomorrow. I think there's a lot of reasons to believe that unless we really, really wreck them catastrophically at an electoral level, that the MAGA folks are going to keep haunting us for a while. Now, there is a possibility they get wrecked at the electoral level. I would like that. I don't think there's a path back to a center-right party in this country until you basically raise the political cost of being one of these authoritarian nationalist populist weirdos. But that's a tough road to hoe. It's a hard assignment. And I think while Trump revealed a lot about where the party is and it corrupted it in a lot of profound ways, there isn't a critical mass on our side to rebuild a center right party based on, you know, limited government, individual liberty, constitutional fealty. There's not enough warm bodies on our side of this fight
right.
to do that until those people get really blown the hell out in some meaningful way in an election.
It's
got to be seen as poison to be like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. And there are some folks, you know, who I've reached out to and have reached out to me who are kind of toiling around in that venue, trying to figure out if there's any way to plant some seeds for a center right party. Because I think the idea of forming a third party, like we see with Forward, for example, and certainly what we see, which they say, oh, we're not forming a party at No Labels. We're just going to run somebody that's going to muck up the game.
Right.
That's not it. I think really what it's going to take, to your point, is putting in front of the country an alternative that is realistic for them. In other words, requires the least amount of change in voter behavior, the least amount of change in voter approach to how they vote and look at elections. In other words, this introduction of, oh, now we're you know, we're the center, the centrist party. Well, Americans kind of go, yeah, that's an idea. But at the end of the day, you know, what do you stand for? What do you believe in? So, okay, here are those those articulated principles and ideas. And I think a center-right party can do that. But you're right. You're going to have to be able to do it in a space in which you've put the greatest weed repellent possible.
Right, right. We need political Roundup. Yeah. And it's got to really, and it's got to really, it's got to really cost people politically to be a part of that movement and to say that, you know, the rule of law doesn't matter. The Constitution doesn't matter. We're going to all be in for one guy. And our, and the whole definition of the party isn't about any kind of policy anymore. It's about, you know, are you pissed off? That makes me happy. You know, owning the libs is a really like, assertive and seductive plan on their part, but it doesn't really, it's not really a governing model.
It's not. And that, and I think that that is, you know, one of the things that really weakens those inside the party on the policy elected side that are, you know, quietly trying, you know, hoping that Donald Trump, you know, chokes on a chicken bone or, you know, that someone, you know, takes him out. Their reality is you don't win back voters with those events. You win back voters when you articulate a vision for the country in which they see themselves included. So when you tell Black people that you actually benefited from slavery, you're not having the kind of conversation where people are going to line up to want to be a part of what you're doing. And I think that's the part that they don't get. They still look at voters as reactionary enough to the bullshit they're putting out there that they're going to go along because it's better than the bullshit coming from the other side.
Correct. And look, there is a great talent pool on the Republican Party side that has for many, many years been very good at scaring the hell out of people. And I spent a lot of my career scaring the hell out of people.
Yeah. Same, yeah, and, exactly.
And if we don't understand how strong that incentive is in the minds and the hearts of the people who run Republican campaigns, you know, that's a real problem. Because they're going to be really trying to jack the fear level up as high as they possibly can in the coming, you know, year and years, to try to tell, you know, middle class Americans that if you elect Joe Biden a second time, you're going to, you know, lose everything and your kids are going to get a mandatory sex change or whatever cuckoo stuff they're going to do at that moment. And so, you know, I look at this as something that, in a way, you're going to have Democrats who are committed to telling stories and pushing out narratives that are more compelling and more vivid and more clear than just saying, just go ahead and read our 600-page policy plan on the climate. That doesn't work anymore. And Republicans are emotional, and Democrats are. I wouldn't say they're completely logical, but they're more like driven by trying to tell people things in a logical way. But the reality is that emotional attack vector the Republicans are so good at is still going to be there. And as long as there's Fox News, they still have a lot of advantages that are pretty meaningful and pretty dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that, you raised the point about leadership a little bit early, and I couldn't help but think about Mitch McConnell and the episode that he experienced during his presser. What was your take on that? And the response by Republicans, I thought, again, you know, irony is never lost on these bastards, because they, you know, they sat there and started talking about, oh, well, Mitch is strong as a horse. You know, he's just, you know, we're just, you know, but Joe
Biden. Have you seen senile Joe Biden?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, look, and here's the thing. I am a pretty sharp edged and pretty, and I can be a pretty, pretty mean son of a bitch, but people might notice that I have a couple things I just don't put into social media. I don't joke about people's kids if they're civilians. No. If they're not in politics, I don't talk about their kids. It's inappropriate. I've never said a goddamn word about Barron Trump, you know, in however many years. I don't joke about cancer. I mean, I don't joke about debilitating illnesses as a general rule.
Right.
Now, Mitch McConnell is a guy who is an extraordinarily complex figure in our politics right now. And if he goes, I think a lot of the people cheering for Mitch to die right now will not like the outcome.
They will not.
Replaces him.
They will
there
not.
There are three bad options. You and I both know who I'm, all the people I'm talking about. There are three bad options. And if you people want these fucknuts like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Tom Cotton and Josh Hawley to be running the show, well, you're going to get your wish if you're not very careful. And so, I look, I think McConnell, he's had a couple falls. He's had some medical problems. Like a lot of other members of Congress, he's up there. He's old. Dianne Feinstein should not be sitting in that body either.
No.
And as Scott Galloway said the other day, he goes, you know, we age gate at the bottom to be a member of Congress or the U.S. Senate. You know, you got to be 25. We don't age gate at the top. And there's a point where, you know, the physical debilitation of some of these members, I mean, Chuck Grassley comes to mind, is so obvious and painful that you feel bad that they're still being kept there for whatever reasons they're still being kept there. And in McConnell's case, they will carry him out feet first from the body. He will not retire. He will not resign. He will not leave. But he also may not make it.
Yeah.
And look, I try not to be such a dick about people when they're sick. And I don't know what happened in the end of the day. I've seen friends that age have TIAs and things like that. I'm not a doctor. I don't know what happened, but I will say, if you're in the Republican leadership and you stand there watching the guy just absolutely locked up for 90 seconds, I'm like, come on, people.
Yeah.
Stop calculating and go be human beings. Go help the guy.
No, I agree with that 100%.
I mean, when I saw Barrasso just standing there, I'm like, come on, take a step, go over there, take his arm. Come on.
That's right.
Fall.
That's right.
And I would have said that about anybody, but it is, you know, there's a sort of gleeful cruelty about it right now, but that shit comes to everybody.
It does.
None of us get out of that.
It does not pay attention to your party label or, you know, where you go to church. Everybody has that moment. So I want to end as we began, because as I mentioned before, you guys at Lincoln Project put out a wicked ad last week on Trump on a DeSantis slave trade school. Dude, so let's take a quick listen to what I think right now. It won the week for me, I think, if not the season so far.
We're proud of what we've done to be number one in education freedom.
Ron DeSantis knows the importance of a good education.
But with this new bill I've signed, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Now Floridians are able to enroll at Ron DeSantis' Slave Trade School. Find out how easy it is to learn from home, just not your home, for a career in exciting fields such as...
Being a blacksmith.
Slaves did develop skills while they were enslaved and then used those skills as blacksmiths. As in agriculture, carpentry, tailoring, painting, domestic service, transportation, in the shipping business.
They listed everything out, and if you have any questions about it, just ask the Department of Education.
Or get your degree. You can major in rewritten history or generational trauma. Call now.
You should talk to them about it. I mean, I didn't do it, I wasn't involved in it.
Pure gold. So my retweet of that, I said, DeSantis slave trade school testimonials, quote, I never thought about being a blacksmith until I came here. Quote, the field work was incredibly beneficial. Quote, I couldn't believe I got to pick from so many electives. Coming to a school system near you, you ain't seen nothing yet. Dude.
You know, well, that was a, That's a couple of new producers who've just joined the team, and they were really having some fun with it last week.
Give them an extra cup of coffee.
I will do it because they are they really knocked that one out of the park. And I'm that's one of those moments where we have to use some humor because it's just so goddamn awful otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so dark, awful, and awful otherwise. And look, that's going to end up, if Ron DeSantis loses this race, which he's going to lose this race, that's his legacy. That's going to be in the goddamn encyclopedia next to his name. When he dies 50 years from now, people are going to write in his obituary, DeSantis, who said that slavery had some good points. I mean, it's just like, you know,
but the best part of this clip, folks, and I please go to at Project Lincoln on Twitter to watch it if you haven't seen it, is the segment with Waters, who from Fox News, who's sitting there on the five talking about all the benefits in agriculture and this, but the cutaways to the rest of the people around the table looking at him like, dude, how fucking stupid are you?
Right. Even Fox guests are like, the fuck is this?
It was classic. You guys captured the moment and boxed it so well. Rick Wilson, one of the best, good friend. Man, I appreciate you. Appreciate being in the fight with you so much.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
Is it just me, or have we all lost our minds? It's a question more and more people are asking themselves, afraid to admit they already know the answer. It's also a podcast. One about people coming together in a time of division and uncertainty to talk about culture and politics, compromise and connections. It's about challenging the norms we've come to accept as a society and working together to find common ground. Fierce and Unfiltered, host Jennifer Horn is a former Republican strategist and party leader turned independent sanity activist. One way or another, we've all lost our minds. Join Jennifer Horn in the search to find them again.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.